Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Millions and millions and billions of times over, we do shukr to Allah that to this point in Ramadan, Allah has with goodness and well-being, with afiyah, with safety, Allah has allowed us to arrive here. This month of blessings, barakat, we are aware of the facts about Ramadan, but we cannot imagine the ni'mas, the treasures, the gifts, the rewards Allah has put in this month, and the reality of this month, we cannot imagine. But as far as Allah Ta'ala has given us capacity, understanding, and brain power, we know that more than this, there's nothing better than this that Allah Ta'ala has given to insan. Why? Because there's no part of the deen that Allah Ta'ala has not refreshed for us, revived for us, given us an opportunity to refresh and remember and revise. This, every important thing for our life, we in this month of Ramadan can attain it. Everything that's important, essential for our life, we can attain from the beginning of Ramadan. In my mind, these thoughts came with regards to this that I keep on sharing with you, discussing with you. From the first day, such a passion came, and then my points and discussion went in that direction. May Allah Ta'ala, for me as well and for you, make these points and discussions valuable and beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with regards to an amal which is very accepted to Allah and very beloved to Allah. You can imagine how much it is by understanding that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to this deed, what did he say? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to Allah, more than this, there's no weight or power in anything else more than this. Value. There's no value, weight, importance, significance in anything compared to this. Now think, what is that? That item, that action, that factor. This humble servant thinks that Allah likes that thing most of all, which his makhluq likes most of all, and what is most beneficial for his makhluq. So from this message we realize that for us this is extremely valuable what is being stated here. What is that? To ask from Allah, to ask from Allah, which we call dua. Dua. What is dua? Asking, requesting. This is an extremely great action Allah has bestowed to us. If we can understand the realities, if we can understand the greatness of how great an action this and how much reward Allah has given to do dua, Allah has given us ijazah, ask, request. Allah has given ijazah. Do you know in the world, if every man, will he say to you, ask me for money? Can you ask him for money? Yeah? Even if your father said, don't ask me for money. Okay? Beware. They say that, don't they? The father. Talk about something else. Or galgar. But in advance he says, don't ask me for money. Mother says it as well sometimes. Don't ask me for too much food. That's enough. I'm not going to make any more, give you any more. She says that, doesn't he? But our Rabb says, if you don't ask me, I will be upset with you. Subhanallah. Imagine the greatness of Allah. If you don't ask from me, I'll be upset with you. Why don't you ask me? Allah says. Don't I give to you? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So the sign here is that for if you don't ask, that's because you don't have yaqeen that your Rabb will give to you. So Allah says that this person is mutakabbir. He has takabbur. He's not asking his Rabb, his Lord. He doesn't have yaqeen, certainty. This is the point. That this is based on yaqeen. You will only ask from he who you have yaqeen, belief that he will give to me. If that person, you want to get a loan from someone, you want to borrow from somebody, you will go and ask that person, you know that if he's going to slap you on the face, will you ask that person for a loan? No, you'll only go to that person to ask for a loan, that yaar, I'm hopeful inshallah he will give to me, he won't reject me. And for that, even if you have to sit down and go to France on a journey, you will go there to ask. But if there's a rich person who lives next door to you, you won't ask from him because you don't have belief, certainty that he will give to you. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So not asking, this shows that Allah is far from us, for us. For us. That's why they ask from idols, people. They ask from trees. They ask from the stars. They request, isn't it? Artificial items they go to request because they don't have yaqeen that Allah is very close to them. They consider Allah is far, that's why they don't ask Allah. They think the idols are closer. Foolish. Yes, they think that the stones or rocks are closer. That's why Allah Ta'ala doesn't like shirk. Yes, but they don't have yaqeen. If we start doing this, that we are so upset, distress, issues, we look left and right, but we don't raise our hands and say to our Rabb, Allah give. Subhanallah. What should we say? Allah give. We don't ask. The ones who should ask, don't ask. If we say give, our yaqeen is in our hearts that Allah won't give. Allahu Akbar. This is our yaqeen that I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. Brothers, what a great important feature of our life. So important that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is an ajeeb, unique hadith with regards to this, that person will give tawfiq for asking, pleading, requesting. The person who gets the tawfiq for asking to do dua, that he's asking Allah, then in one hadith is stated, for that person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors of mercy. Maftah, Allah has unlocked the key, the locks. In the other hadith is stated, no. Maftah rahmati, rather maftah jannah, the doors of jannah also open for that person. Subhanallah. These are those people of yaqeen, belief that Allah is close to me. The doors of Jannah have been opened. Another same hadith, the third, fourth meaning comes, that not just are the doors of Rahmah open, of paradise, rather the doors of acceptance are opened up. This is how great a point this is. That a person, Allah is saying this, and we don't ask from Allah because we have a belief that Allah won't give. This is the knocking inside us. And what person is there? Is there any person in the world is there who has no need? The king whose treasure chest is full and his palaces are full, even he is in need. The king, according to his standard, that this diamond I've got, that if the other king has got this diamond, if I can get that, then I'll enjoy myself. That will complete the set. And when his need is complete, then who will ask from Allah? Then why would Allah say, ask from me? So Allah Ta'ala knows that all these people, what they've got is what I've given. Doesn't matter how rich I make a person, whatever high level he goes to, but I will keep him as a fakir. He will still be in need, a beggar, whether he accepts or not, but put that, you'll have to come to me. I've made you king and you have a court, a palace, everyone thinks he has no need. But ask him, do you have any need, O king? Do you have any requirements? Won't he have any requirements, brothers? Isn't it? Look, such a big thing this is. That's why I stated that in the eyes of Allah, there's no greater thing than dua. Dua is so valuable. You ask, Allah says, open the doors of paradise, the doors of rahmah, the doors of mercy, the doors of acceptance. And accepted beyond accepted. Subhanallah. Why? Because who are you asking from? Allah. We're asking from Allah. There was a pious elder, Hazrat Hassan was his name, and he was a very great sheikh of his time. Another sheikh, Abu Usman, also of his time. And he became ill. Abu Usman became ill. Hazrat Hassan heard about his sickness, illness. So he went to, you know, so to see how he is, and also for his need. What was his need? That Rasulullah, he heard a hadith, and these were people of yaqeen. When they got an opportunity, why shouldn't we fulfill this? That if you go to visit the sick person, ask him for dua, his dua will be accepted. Subhanallah. The sick person, say Subhanallah. Look at this. Look at the paths Allah has given to us. So many paths. So many doors. That first you'll get the reward for going and visiting the sick, the ajr, the reward. And secondly, that sick person's dua will be accepted. And on top of that, this ajiz, humble servant, says that if you say to him, if you're ashamed, if I say to him, what will you say? Then do dua yourself when you're there. Subhanallah. Do dua yourself automatically whilst you're stood there. Ask for him dua and ask for yourself, and both duas will be accepted. This is, we're saying we're ashamed. Yes, sometimes a person says, oh, what can I say to him? He's sick. Why should I pester him? Poor soul, he's upset, he's down, he's sick, he's tired. So what should that person do who's visiting? That ask the dua yourself, because Allah's rahmah is coming down. And Allah says that the person who's sick, my rahmas are descending. So he said, Hassan said, okay, I'll go. And he asked him, Hazrat, do dua for me. And he said, okay, I'll do dua for you. And he raised his hands. And the dua, the tariqah, first he did hamd of Allah. He praised Allah. Then he said darood on Rasulullah, Habibullah. Then he asked Allah. This is the tariqah of doing dua, okay? Doesn't matter. The more hamd you do in the beginning, the more beautiful darood sharif you recite, the more quickly your dua will be accepted. Say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So he raised his hands and did dua. And alongside his dua, he said, Ameen. He said, Mubarak, congratulations. He said, how? He said, your dua has been accepted. He said, huh? Yeah, he was also a wali. But everyone has a level, isn't it? All the walis have different levels. So they don't have the same level. He said, Hazrat, dua, how do you know? Have you got ilham, inspiration? He said, Ajib man, you are. That kashf, this is higher than kashf, what we're talking. Don't you know what I'm telling you? He said that this is higher than that. He said, what is that? He said, Quran, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said, have you not heard in the Quran? What is the Quran? Ad'uni fastajib lakum. Ask from me, that's your job, and it's my job to give to you, Allah says. Oh, my servant, how can it be that you ask and I don't give to you? In the Quran, Allah says, I promise you. Astajib lakum, you ask me and I will give to you. So Allah Ta'ala has given to you. Subhanallah. How much yaqeen Allah Ta'ala explained to the servant. And how much we lose, we raise our hands and we believe that we won't get. That's our yaqeen. That's why we don't get anything, because we don't believe we're going to get it. We raise our hands, we'll be ashamed. Okay, it's a habit. Okay, this man's sick. Let me ask for this and let me ask for X, Y, Z. Allah, I swear by Allah, the person who learns how to do dua, he can never lose out in this world. He can never lose out. He can never lose out. The person who has yaqeen on dua, on this point who has yaqeen, he will never be in loss. He can never be without. So we are in this conundrum and this trap. When a person has yaqeen, he said that your dua is accepted. Mubarak. Ad'uni, Allah says, ask me, astajib lakum, I will give you the answer. Which answer will Allah give? That whatever you ask, I will give you the answer for that. Subhanallah, your dua has been accepted by me, Allah says. So what's the reason here that we don't look at Allah's hikmah? After doing dua, we start thinking with our brain, with our minds. First of all, our demand is this, that whatever I'm asking, Allah give to me immediately. This is everyone's demand, isn't it? Every man. So here, listen to one point here. That you are asking from who? Allah, most great. He loves us most of all from everything. That's why Allah has opened the doors for us. There's no one more than Allah who loves us. Remember this. So do you have this yaqeen? So I'll ask you a question now. In your house, your mother and father, they are most respected and they love you most, isn't it? The mother. If you say to your mother, Mother, give me £5. She won't give to you £5, yeah? And then you say, I want £5. She says, I'm not going to give to you £5. Father says, no, you are not going to give £5 to him, even though he's got a lot of money. So the father, mother, this is the dunya relationship. And Allah, what about the relationship with Allah? So then mother, a person thinks, the second, third person sitting there, they go and give him the money. Why don't you give the money? Ajib ma you are. That they start criticizing. What kind of mother are you? Your good father you are. He's asking for money. You're not giving him money. So he's not giving the money to the child. So the man asks, why are you not giving? He said, come to the side. Come to the side. He comes to the side. He says, £5? I could give to him right now. Not five. I can give him 500. Do you know that if I give him £5 now, then he'll go and smoke cannabis? Say subhanallah. Do you understand now what I'm saying? Then I spoke. So he'll smoke cannabis with the £5. So is it good for him to smoke cannabis? Or is my not giving good better? And you say, totally, don't give him nothing. He'll say that man, won't he? So Allah says, Allah give me this. The servant says, the servant knows better or does Allah know better? Tell me, do you understand my point now? Subhanallah, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So mother, yes, oh my putter, give to him my son, give to him, give to him. Putter, do you understand? What is putter? Better, son, not daughter. Yes, because they prefer the male, the son, daughter. Is there anyone more beloved than this? Anyway, this is just a side point, that my son, my son, my son, we keep on saying this. And then he has daughters, he wants son, but he has one daughter, two daughters, three daughters. It's a wali of yaqeen that madhuwa has been accepted. This is where we lose out. Is he a Muslim? A person who complains, is this iman? Asking for son, 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 we get daughters. Dua directly has a link with iman. Remember this, the dua has a connection with iman, direct. Very beautiful and strong connection with iman. He is asking for son. I'm asking for a son from Allah. I did tahajjud salah. I did duas. With this salah, I did dua. I did salatul hajjud. And the more I'm asking, the more daughters are coming to me. Opposite to I'm asking. Yes. So I'm giving an example. Why? Why? Allah's hikmah is what? That if I give him what he's asking, for him this is a loss. And if he asks from me, then I'm not, the mother's not giving. She loves the son. Yes, and people from around, cha-cha, uncle, oh, it's okay, he'll smoke cannabis today, give him the money. But mother won't give the money. She knows that I will die, but I'm not going to give him £5 because this is a loss for him. This will take him to negative. Allah Ta'ala says, it cannot be that I will give him what he's asking for. Why? Because it will take him to his loss. Loss. It cannot be that I let him get married. It cannot be that I let him do this action or give him a shop or this business. And he starts getting upset. Oh, your iman should be going to the high level. That I'm grateful, my Mawla, you're not giving this to me. Most definitely, you are giving me something greater than that. And this is not good for me. This is the way of thinking we should have. The ways of muhabbat are very ajeeb and unique. The paths of love, the paths of ishq, they are very unique indeed. You have to understand this point. And only he knows who's the true lover, the ashik. So, we say Allah's not giving. Allah says, I'm giving to you. In reality, I'm giving you the real good thing that's appropriate for you for now. So that's the position of dua. That immediate, if you're not getting immediately what you're asking, and if it's in your favor, it wouldn't take a second. If you ask for it and it come immediately, that's for your favor, for your benefit. This is dua. So one thing we need to realize, don't get upset, go, don't feel down, that's fine. It's not appropriate for me now, and we should be grateful to Allah that He's not giving it immediately. Okay? Second point now is the time. It's not appropriate, but also there's an appropriate time in which Allah Ta'ala will bestow you what you're asking. He'll give to you. Yes, for example, you're doing dua for getting married. Allah says, not time for him to get married yet. Delay it, let him wait. There's a reason. Allah Ta'ala says, I know better. Let him mature more. Let him, whatever object Allah has the hikmah, the wisdom. When the time comes, Allah says, oh, now you need to get married. Let me enable you. You do dua to me for marriage. So that's the second condition. Is that we've done the dua. And the third thing now is, yaqeen should go higher or should it not go higher? Definitely it gets accepted. That's why Allah says 100% it gets accepted. Now, immediate, don't ask immediately for the result. And there's a time that Allah Ta'ala decrees to give and Allah knows best. So even then, if you don't get in this world, the dua is accepted. But in the akhirah, that treasure will gather. The treasure will gather in the akhirah. It's not rejected, is it then dua? Yes, so dua is accepted, alhamdulillah, immediately maybe, or in an appropriate time, or if not in this world, then that time that's to come very quickly, in the hereafter you'll get it. What will be the position of the servant in the hereafter? There, what will be the position? When Allah will give that dua you asked in the world, Allah will give in the akhirah. In the hadith is stated that time when a person will see the rewards of his duas, and especially he'll see his unique reward, he'll say at that time, Allah, that I'm grateful to you that all my du'as were not accepted in the world. Allah, I have this desire that not one of my du'as were accepted in the world so that I could get the compensation in this way in the akhir. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So now, a point I'm trying to explain to you here, for the ashiks, the lovers, this point is valid, because this is Ramadan we are attached to, isn't it? Yes, so listen carefully if I can make you understand. Listen carefully. What is the link of dua? What's the reality of dua? Shall I tell you? The reality of dua. Dua, wahid, is such an action that is most of all the action that gets you closest to Allah. Closest to Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Dua is the one action that most of all takes you closest, immediately qareeb and close to Allah. What's the wasila? The means? Dua. Dua. Subhanallah. Now me and you, what do we need? Allah's qurb, nearness. We want Allah's nearness. All of the actions we do, why do we do them? So we can get the qurb, the nearness to Allah. Why you sat here right now to do dhikr? What do you want? Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. You're reciting Quran, what do you want? Allah's qurb, nearness. Any action you do, any ibadah, actions are for a reason, that Allah gets close to us, so Allah gets pleased with us. Isn't this the case? So dua, supplication, is such an action that it takes you closest to Allah, the human being closest to Allah. How? That Allah Ta'ala's promise is this, that dua, I give you the desire, and on top of that, I give you also qurb, nearness. This is when you attain the dua. For example, you do dua, you make supplication, a prayer, and Allah Ta'ala first and foremost will give you what? He will draw you near to Him, Himself. He will pull you, drag you close to Himself, to the level that this my servant, he has come close to me, he's asking from me. So first of all, what do you get when you do dua? You get Allah's qurb. That's the result. Now dua, the third position, that dua is if you accept it, you'll get Allah's qurb. If you get it immediately, if dua at an appropriate time in your life is accepted, you'll get Allah's qurb even then. And if dua is not accepted, if you get it in the akhirah, even then you will get the qurb. Subhanallah. You'll attain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here now what we need to see, what's the difference in the three different stations of attaining? What's the difference in the three different times of acceptance? The dua when it's accepted, the qurb you'll attain will be on one level. If it's, so how many levels? One darajat you'll get of qurb. And if the dua is accepted at an appropriate time later in life, that dua is accepted, then what will you get? You will get, yes, another level of qurb. Both are the same, of one level. And the person whose dua is not accepted, so the first two examples, they get the same level of qurb. The third example, whose dua is not accepted, he will get the level 2 of qurb. How many? 2 levels of qurb. And when he will get that qurb, not in the world, where? In the hereafter. He will get that reward in the hereafter. So that in the world, a person whose dua is accepted immediately or after a delay, he gets one level of qurb. The meaning of this hadith is this, whatever he desires, I don't want any of my duas accepted. What will he see? The qurbi ilahi, he will get the darajat. He is seeing that. Yes, walayat, the levels, he will be seeing that, experiencing them. So high level, the darajat, the levels, he will get the high level results. He'll say, Ya Allah, it was better that my du'as were not accepted in the world. So much qurb of yours I would have attained in the akhirah and the hereafter, subhanAllah. So now the point that arises here, or results, is that he got one qurb in the world. If his du'a was accepted immediately, he got one qurb, one level of qurb, Allah promised. And if his du'a was accepted after a delay, he still got one level of qurb. But the third person, why did he get that 2 levels of qurb? The third, look how much Allah Ta'ala loves the human being. The third person whose du'a was not accepted here, his du'a was accepted in the akhirah. After that, whoever's du'a is not accepted here, he feels regret, doesn't he? Fikr and anxiety and hastiness, he has the pain in the heart, isn't it? When his du'a is not accepted in this world. Obviously, he's not getting what he asked for. So he has that regret, he has pain, he has anxiety, nervousness, distress, sorrow. So Allah Ta'ala says, due to this sorrow and anxiety, I give you compensation, I give you double qurb. Subhanallah. One is the qurb of your du'a you're asking, and that's that pain and that difficulty for you, your du'a was not accepted. I delayed your du'a, and in return for that, I will definitely give to you, and I'll give you double over and above that. Double. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So how great a thing is du'a, my brothers. Think for yourself. And we, with dua, what do we do in our life? What is the methodology in our life? In reality, we don't do dua. So we are not asking for Allah's qurb. We are distancing ourselves from Allah's qurb. Because dua is accepted beyond accepted 100%. We need to do dua. In every situation, we should do dua. So Ramadan, what has it come to do? Allah, Ramadan has come to draw us closer to Allah Ta'ala. It has come to take us closer to Allah. Every deed, it tells us, that takes us close to Allah. So come, let's see, has Ramadan told us to do a dua? Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Yes, this is the meaning, isn't it, of our Ramadan. Is such an important thing. So will this not be a part of dua? Most definitely it's a part of dua, of Ramadan, a very important part of Ramadan. Just like the hadith I told you, من أربع كسال, that four khasla. Rasulullah told us this whole hadith has been explained in Shaban with regards to Ramadan, the concise point that there's something in Ramadan, remember that, through which you'll get everything, that in abundance these four things you need to do, what I'm telling you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a fantastic statement that Rasulullah told. The whole of Ramadan, that by these four things, if you do this in abundance in Ramadan, then first thing is dhikrullah, remembering Allah, astaghfirullah, and then dua, asking from Allah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Why have we been told to do this? So that we can become habitual, that when we live our life after Ramadan, then you will not lose out. As long as you are alive, then you will have a habit of doing dhikr, of doing tawbah, and doing dua to Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So for the insan, this will become noor for him. Noor for him. So most definitely the action we're doing in Ramadan, so that we can become habitual in these actions. So that's what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that in Ramadan, do this in abundance. Kathir, do the duas. Kathir. Make this a part of your time to do dua. Remember this, that for dhikr we make time, for Quran recitation we make time. We do this, don't we? So Allah's Nabi Sallam, did he not explain this hadith to us? That you read Quran, you do dhikr, and you pray salah, you pray taraweeh. But that part of Ramadan also you should select, which is the summary of your ibadah. Have you taken time out for this? Have you kept some spare time for dua? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Because we don't have yaqeen in Allah. We don't have yaqeen. If the servant has yaqeen in Allah, the most time he would take out is for this action, dua. Most time he'd take out for this action, dua. Because this is the real thing we need to attain. Everything a person gets via dua. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What a great statement. Until now, 15 fasts have passed. Forgive me, I'm not complaining, criticizing anyone. But tell me, have you selected a specific time of the day, daily for dua? Someone's doing dua after namaz, and that we just wipe our hands over our face. It's not asking. Mulana Sahib is asking to dua. It's not asking, is it? In reality, Mulana Sahib should ask, was the thing we need to ask him. What does he know, that what we need? If I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, Allah, in my stomach there's pain, Allah, please take the pain away. He doesn't know about my stomach pain, does he? Yes, and I'm saying Ameen, Ameen. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Is this the case or not? Okay, he's doing dua. We're asking for that as well. We should. That's a collective dua, alhamdulillah. That's a not wrong thing, good thing. But due to this environment of Ramadan, we don't get the right opportunity to do dua at the salah time. We're very in a rush to read Quran. I'm tired. I've read 15 juz up to today. Who told you to read 15 juz? Read as much so that after that, if 10 minutes you read Quran, then 30 minutes do dua. 30 minutes do dua. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You're not upset with what I'm saying, are you? Those who read a lot of Quran. Yes, that's why our issues are not resolved. Dua, we need to put a lot of emphasis more towards dua. Do double of the action. The action you're doing, do double the length of time dua. 30 minutes you pray salah, then 1.5 hours dua. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. And then such an ibadah is this. The reason for that, I'll tell you. A point is coming. Shall I explain this to you? This humble servant's point, very beautiful. There are three conditions of salah. How many conditions of salah? Or states. The first state is what? You stood, standing. Second state is what? You are in ruku, bowing. Third state, you are in what? Sujood, prostration. Three different states or forms, postures. Very great action, salah. Very great action is salah. All three actions, states are different. First state, the first posture is what's stated about that? The first posture is a person is introducing himself to Allah. Allah, you are this and I am this. Subhanallah. This is your power and this is my servanthood. Say Subhanallah. When he stood. This is humble servant's point. If you like it, accept it, otherwise reject it. This fakir, just a little bit of a summary I'm telling you. What does the person say when he's standing in salah? The first posture. Keep this. Don't do any other action in this posture. This is what goes. Allah, you are my Rabb, I'm your fakir. You give, I do ibadah. I won't do shirk, Allah. You show me the path. Show me the straight path. Your dialogue is happening. Allah, you are this, I am this. The introduction of the servant to his Rabb. So he says, Allahu Akbar, go back everything. When he says Allahu Akbar in the beginning, he's shunning everything. Everyone, go back, go back. Leave me, I'm about to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the case, isn't it? Yes? So he's arrived to that station, so he's speaking to Allah. Allah, you are this, I am this. Allah, you are this, and I am this. So that you are this, and this is me. And this is introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're introducing yourself, the introduction between Rabb and his servant. Yes, Allah says, okay, fine. You've introduced yourself, speak now. What's next? He says, Allah, not now. I'll go into the bowing posture and I'll speak to you. Allahu Akbar. I won't speak like this now. Allah, I'm ashamed now. I've introduced myself. What am I? And look at you, Allah, you're the greatest. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Where am I? And where are you, Allah? I've introduced myself, so now I'm going to submit myself, I'll bow. So when a person bows, like for example, if you bow in front of a good person, like your heart submits, you don't do sujood, you can't prostrate. So your heart submits. When your heart submits, then your wujud, yourself, that submits as well. That's how the heart, the sincerity comes. When you meet a wali Allah, but obviously the hearts are like rocks and stones, they don't value. Those who value, their hearts shake a bit. They are shaking. The more value, appreciation, their hearts will shake more. Yes, the effect of the wali, it comes onto that. There's nur in the heart, and they accept the effect, the mirror, reflection of that wali. They have respect, they have adab, they have ihtaram, they have regard, and that's how you get adab. Otherwise, the person who has no manners, what is he doing? Who is this? Who is not? He's going to talk rubbish and nonsense. He has no adab. No adab. He is immodest. He stands in front of wali. He doesn't know how to stand in front of a wali Allah. How to speak with respect to a wali Allah. How to discuss with the wali Allah. There's no condition. He doesn't say do this, do this, do this. But your wujud will automatically submit. You have haya. You have modesty. You have iman. You have shame. Yes. So the value and the respect and the appreciation comes automatically. This is the sign of iman. This is not something by force. The wali says, why don't you respect me? Maybe some walis, Allah, some so-called peers do this. Allah says, no, don't do this. Don't demand that. Don't demand the appreciation. Don't demand that you are recognized. Sometimes Allah tells him off, but he is forced to. And the humbleness comes into him that his nur of his iman is so high that everything that is linked to Allah, that servant, he submits himself. He bows. He submits. His heart submits. We think he's doing shirk. What shirk is he going to do, a foolish person? This is the servanthood of Allah when he respects the wali Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you like what I'm saying? So what position we got to? He introduced himself while standing, second position, bowing. He's recognized, Allah, you my Rabb, I'm your servant. Will I speak to you now while standing? So Allah, he says, that you are the wali of Allah, wali Allah. Can I speak to you with disrespect? Will I grab you and speak? No, I don't feel like that. I'll have adab with you. The servant says this to the wali Allah. Say subhanallah. Comparison, eh? So this is the piety. So the servant, he bows himself in front of Allah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, he says, Allah, you are Rabb, you are my Lord, you are saying, ask for me. So let me lower myself, I'll speak to you, Allah. I've come for this reason. So then what do? We call that in our language. First was what? Standing, qiyam. Second posture, ruku. What is that? Bowing. Will you call this bowing? Ruku is that your back should bend, your hand should be like this. All the sunnah has been explained. When you go in ruku, what is the sunnah? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in this position when you get to pleading to Allah, then put your hands on your knees, and your hands, the palm should be spread out, the fingers, not sealed. Look at the adab. Spread the fingers on the knees. Say subhanallah. We say it's wajib sunnah. I'm explaining with my method. Wajib maybe, but I'm telling you adab. That when you bow, the adab with Allah changes. There the adab was to fold the hands, one hand, palm on the other, palm on the wrist, and look down at where your manzil is about to arrive. Sajda, where you will speak in reality with Allah. Subhanallah. So keep your eyes when you're in qiyam towards the ground, where you'll prostrate your forehead and fold, put one palm on the other palm. Allah says, now the position has changed. Now you don't fold one hand on the other. Open up your hands, bow down, and your back should be straight, and your eyes should be looking here down, and your hands should be on your knees, spread out the fingers. This is adab. Why? Because I am about to speak to my Aqa, my master, and there's no one greater than Allah, our master. Subhanallah. And there was no one greater than our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who knew how to bow to Allah. There was no one greater than our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who asked from Allah. So he demonstrated. I'm demonstrating to you that this is the maqam of adab. Open your hands, spread the fingers. We said this is wajib, sunnah, etc. The ashik says, oh, this is the method. This is the method, the tariqah of bowing in front of Allah. And our Master, our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us how to do this. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So now you go into a ruku, bowing. So now the style changes. There we said, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka na'budu, and then the answer comes. What is Allah saying? This and Allah saying this, and the discussion is continuing. Yes, the gun line is happening. The discussion is happening. But when he goes into ruku, what we call bowing, ruku, the situation transformed, discussion transformed. Subhanallah. Now the way, the method has transformed, and The condition has changed. The halat has changed. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Now what is the condition? Allah Ta'ala says, oh my servant, introduction has occurred. Me and you, we have introduced ourselves. You have recognized who I am. Now going to the second position, bowing. Now what is your duty? It is something else. Now your duty is not this. Now you have recognized who I am. So now your duty is that recite my hamd, Subhanallah, continuously. Come to me. High grade hamd started. Such a hamd start that I can rejoice along with your hamd. Allahu Akbar. This is the maqam of ruku, my brothers. In this we have selected one sentence. Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Allah, you're great. But the ashik say, this is one statement I feel like in my heart, that Allah, my Rabb, I keep on praising you. So in ruku, in the maqam ruku, when you arrive there, then all the hams of Allah, recite them. Allah Azimul Kareem, all the hams, the greatest hamd, in ruku, recite them. In the hadith, these are stated, the du'as are present in hadith. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So this is the maqam of what? Ruku of hamd. Hamd al-kam. So first was introduction in qiyam, then comes ruku. So two postures, two maqams. We're talking about dua. Who are we speaking about? Dua, the subject of dua. And we haven't even done dua yet. Because that position hasn't come, the maqam hasn't arrived, the status hasn't arrived, Where does dua happen? So when we do the second posture in hamd, Allah is happy with his hamd, with his praising. And Allah Ta'ala starts to love his servant. Then Allah Ta'ala says the love, it connects with his servant. Allah says, oh my servant, now leave the hamd, leave the bowing. Now I'm very happy with you. Now come to the next position, to the next posture. Subhanallah. Ya Allah, what is that position? What's that posture? Allah says, don't you know what that's called? Subhanallah. Allah, what is that position? Allah says, that position that when I called my Mahbub on one night, I invited him from the earth to myself in the heavens, and he went on a journey and I called him and I stood him in front of me and I said to him that this is your Mi'raj. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is your Mi'raj. So my Mahbub, I loved my Ummah, oh my Mawla, my beloved, he loved his Ummah. My Prophet, my boob said, Allah, this is my Miraj. What is the Miraj of my Ummah? Why will they lose out? So I remember them. Allah said, don't worry, my boob. I am aware of all of your feelings and your whoever is beloved to you, he is beloved to me as well, your Ummah. Whoever you like, I like him. Whoever you love, I also love him. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. How can I forget? Allah says, that on the night of Miraj I gave to you, and due to your love, due to the sadaqah of your love, I invited you close to me and did your Miraj. Your Ummah, every five times in the day, I will enable them to also do Miraj. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. This is the Allah from which we run away. This is the dialogue that occurred. Allah says, that same enjoyment I will give to my servants 5 times a day in those 5 times of Salah. I will enable them to do Miraj. 5 times Allah said, that's why we say that what is this Salah? It is the mu'min's Miraj. But it's not in Qiyam is it Miraj? Not in Ruku is Miraj? The Maqam isn't come. The Maqam of Miraj is when? In Sajda, in prostration. Another point arises in this humble servant's mind. This is regarding Tasawwuf. Subhanallah. That Tasawwuf. Why do we practice this subject of Tasawwuf? So that we can give ourselves away. So we can assign ourselves totally. So we can assess ourselves so much that we consider ourselves as the worst and lowest insan. Just like the pious elders, the pious priests, the wali Allahs, they said that we consider ourselves worse than the kuffar. Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullah said this. And these were the real feelings inside themselves. That even lower than the person who has no iman, I consider I'm worse than the person. Why? Because he becomes so low, he has so much humility, lowers himself so much that he considers everything else better than him. And his me and his ego has been annihilated. Why? What's the biggest point here? This is the point that everything that is yours is everything is yours, Allah. Nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. Today, I've got this maqam, this level, this status. I'm a big alim, a mufti, a faqih, a jurist. But in reality, Allah, I'm nothing. Whatever you have given to me, Allah, is temporary. Whenever you want, you can take it away from me. So why am I proud of all of this? Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. This is miraj of the human being. So because at that time, you will attain this. O faqirs, this maqam you'll attain at that malas qurb and miraj at that time when a human being becomes like the dust, equivalent to the dust. Look at the person who doesn't pray salah. You should never be proud, I'm praying salah, he doesn't pray salah. No. When you see a sinful person drinking alcohol and you're coming out to the masjid and he's drinking alcohol, don't think like that. Never in your heart should you think that he's doing zina, adultery. Look, I've got a beard, I wear imamah, and he's doing zina. No. Look at them, she's walking around naked and I observe parda. No, don't even have an atom's weight of haughtiness. Don't even imagine was Allah, that you will. Don't even imagine you'll get the closeness to Allah if you have these feelings. Don't even dream if you have this pride. I'm big man, I'm a big shot, I'm better. Who? How? How did you do this? What Quran can you read? You're not capable. How can you become an alim? Are we capable? How can you have a status and become a human being? All of this has been bestowed to us, given to us. But a human being doesn't ask for this. From his mouth he doesn't ask. The person who asks, subhanallah, in this world he doesn't remain. He is wandering around in the environment of Allah's qurb. His wujud doesn't remain in this world. His self doesn't remain in this world. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. He's not present. So Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. And what is he giving? Allah is saying, who are you? What do you don't even imagine or think or ponder? So when these thoughts come into a person here, a maqam comes of the tasawwuf, a sabak in the next one, the silsila, may Allah Ta'ala, if you work hard, you can arrive to that station. That maqam, when a person gets given that sabak, when he lowers himself to dust, that point he gets this sabak, that level, that lesson. Next one, the silsila, subhanallah, so many asbaq, he gets to that level, he gets that sabak, that lesson, when he rubs himself in the dust, on the dirt, when he loves himself, the description of that sabak, that lesson is the same thing. This is the tafsir of that sabak. Lesson, thou have become dust, soil. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So when he becomes like dust, the soil, he gets such a high maqam, that he sees the maqam until the nabuwat. Say subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, that your servants, I will not leave them without. That I called you to myself, O Sallallahu Alaihi, I gave you miraj. And due to your love, every member of your ummah, I will give him the miraj 5 times in the ribah. Which position? Not the qiyam position. Not the ruku position. Which position? Which posture? In this Allah Ta'ala has likes when my servant submits, prostrates, and he rubs his forehead, his nose, whether he's a king, whether he's a prime minister, whether he's a mufti, whether he's a muhaddith, whether he's a faqih jurist, whether he's a kutab, whether he's a qayyum, all of the safat within him, but my servant, today, if you want to get my qurb, if you want to get my nearness after standing, after doing ruku, after bang, go tuck into sajda, prostration. And this is the masla. This is the masla. That the more in this sajda you rub your forehead in the soil, in the dust will come into your forehead, into your nose, and the nose will smell that dust oil. Then inside you will get the elevation, the status. Subhanallah. What do we say? One carpet, then another carpet, then the third layer of carpet. Say subhanallah. Don't we? Even then we make a fuss in our sajda. Even then the forehead says that, oh, I don't want a sign on my forehead. I don't want a mark on my forehead. Say subhanallah. Is this how you attain Allah's nearness? Such a great position Allah Ta'ala has taken you to. So what's the case here? That where's the humility, humbleness? In sajda, on the third posture. So here the greatest ibadah. First, I come to the point now. Try to understand my points. Listen to what I say. I know that that mashallah is takes you time to understand. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, so revise, repeat. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy is such a point Allah Ta'ala's instilled into my heart. Subhanallah. It's due to your sadaqah, due to the sadaqah of your shoes, and this faqir is nothing. Pious people, when they sat around a person, then, for example, Peter, people better than me, then mashallah, I get the goodness due to your piety. So Allah says, first point, when you stood, that was the first point, nothing was given, the introduction. Second, Allah Ta'ala says, my praise, you recited. Third time, what ibadah? The all ibadah ends, subhanallah, say subhanallah. That my servant, all ibadah ends, all ibadah finished. That you don't need to do my hamd now, you don't need to speak to me, just one action do. Allah says, that is the greatest ibadah that I'm giving to you, that I hold dear most of all. Subhanallah, subhanallah. On this maqam, the greatest ibadah I'm giving to you, that is most beloved to me, most dear to me. Oh my Mawla, my Lord, tell me, what is it that you like the most? Allah Ta'ala says, I like the most that you become a faqir, a beggar, and ask for me, and I am the ghaneen, I keep giving to you, bestowing to you, giving to you, allocating to you. Say subhanallah. Do you enjoy this? Are you enjoying? What a beautiful point. So, that time, the greatest ibadah that Allah Ta'ala likes, and what is that? That is that same ibadah that we run away from, and that is Ad'uni astajib lakum, my servant ask for me, I'm calling out to you, I'll give to you. Subhanallah. This is dua. What a great action. Tell me that on Miraj the person gets dua in the form of Miraj. Subhanallah. Sujood and prostration. So now listen to the point that when a person goes into prostration, then do so many duas to Allah, so many duas to Allah, collect them all, save them. What is it? Your desires, your requests, your needs, and then go into prostration and ask Allah for dua beyond dua beyond dua. Say subhanallah. Untold duas in sajda and prostration. This is not necessary that you're not praying salah. When you need to ask, then direct going to sajda and ask from Allah subhanallah. Direct sajda going to. It doesn't have to be in salam. Shall I tell you something more from the faqirs, the beggars, the pious elders? Not a masala, not mufti points. That, for example, I'm walking on the pavement. Subhanallah. And I have liked something and I need that thing. In my pocket, there's no money. And who is the one who gives? Whose treasures? There's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking in his treasure chest. That the whole world could be stood. Everyone who's dying, those who died, those who have to come. Everything in the world, all people who are living, who have died, who are to come. They stand in one place and they will collectively ask me. Allah says they can ask everything. However much they want to ask me, I'm Rabbah, will give to them my high. I am the one who gives, and I will bestow to them, I will give to them. In my treasure chest there's so much, I'll give to them. And how much will I give? That the amount you all ask me, I will give more than that, I will give greater than that. And even then, after that, after I give all of that in my treasure chest, in the ocean of my treasures, there won't be even a deficiency of, like, if you put the needle in and take the needle out and the water goes on the head, not even that amount will be lacking in my treasure. And how miserly we are. That today, are you enjoying today? Subhanallah. That this dua is never rejected. And the one who gives never rejects. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So my heart felt, Allah, I want this, and I have yaqeen, I believe that everything who gives Allah, his treasure chests are with him. Everything healthy will give. Whatever you ask, Allah will give to you. Whatever you give, ask, he'll give to you. But he'll give you in the three states, the three phases. I've told you the three postures. Three connections. And the third connection is the greatest, that if you don't get, that will get in the hereafter, and you'll get two things in the hereafter. You'll get the reward, and you'll get the qurb, the second part of qurb. Subhanallah. So when you don't get in the world, then be more grateful. My Mawla, I've understood that you love me so much. You love me so much, you desire me so much, you have a lot of love for me, Allah. That's why you don't give to me in the dunya, that's why you don't accept my du'as in the dunya. That's why you've made me yours, subhanallah, subhanallah. So I've understood, Allah, you've made me yours, you give me two parts. The not wealth, of your love, double the reward, double the reward of your love. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So du'a, this is du'a in reality, my brothers. Should we do du'a to Allah or not? Tell me. So in sujood, in prostration, the words will extend, the discussion will extend, many other points are coming. So time is short now. So we have to do dhikr inshallah now. So brothers, Ramadan It has come to elevate, strengthen, and make more intense and refresh those things that are most important. So you can see how important is dua. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in Ramadan, recite dua in abundance. Do dua in abundance. Make a time. Portion of time. Ramadan's gone. Today, how many fasts have gone? 15 have gone. Half is left. That's it. So what we haven't done dua. So we haven't apportioned a time. Select a time after today. I'm hopeful those who are listening, make a time in your day, in the night, the best time. In the night is the best time. Make a time, apportion a time, sit in that time where you are, where your Rabb is, and sajda prostration. Subhanallah. My point was left out. That I want to ask, I'm walking around the marketplace, this tree, and I like something. I have an attraction. So what should we do there? Don't look at anything. What should a person do? Go into sajda and ask, start asking from Allah straight away. Do dua. And he said, what's happened to him? He started praying salah. People think he's praying salah. No, that is the zawal time. It's no, don't pray now. No, I'm not praying namaz, people. I'm not praying salah. I am not doing any other action. I'm not doing tasbih. I'm just with my Rabb. I'm presenting my hajat, my needs. Because this is the condition, the posture that Allah Ta'ala likes the most and in which He gives the most. And this posture Allah Ta'ala loves the most and likes the most.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد همین مولای بخود یہ قبولیت کا وقت ہے یا کریم یا اللہ یا اللہ یا اللہ یا اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے میرے مولا اس ذکر کی مجلس کے صدقے سے میرے مولا تو ہماری تمام سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما دے پریشانی کو دور فرما دے ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما اور ہمارے حلقے میں جو عورت اور مرد جو بھی بیمار ہیں میرے ان کو شفا نصیب فرما پوری امت کو شفا نصیب فرما جہاں جہاں عالم اسلام کے اندر لوگ پریشان حال ہیں میرے والوں کی پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ بالخصوص ہندوستان میں پاکستان میں جس وبا بہت تیزی سے پھیل رہی ہے میرے مولا تو ان کی حفاظت فرما اس بیماری کو دور فرما غیب سے ان کی مدد فرما یا اللہ اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اور ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین